Those of you that are here last week, they heard Brother Tommy Ray. I haven't heard that CD yet, but again, I understand there was such a great teaching and impartation for prayer and for things in the Spirit as well. As I'm hearing, again, people speaking here on Christian broadcasts and prophetic utterance and prophetic words that are coming out and so forth, this really is, I believe, a real year of breakthrough, spiritual breakthrough for the body of Christ at large, not just in America, but even worldwide. Even down in Costa Rica, we was there last week. There's so many of the youth there that are coming to Christ. There's just an expectancy in the air. Their key phrase that we're using in that church of 1,000 people was that last Wednesday night. What was that word again? It was transition. Talking about transition, how God is transitioning people. We talked about the word change and about how so God's helping us make choices, key decisions in 2012 here. And those things are going to bring in the right transitions, I believe, for us in this year of 2012. There's many things that are going to be around the corner in the world scene that may be alarming to some people, I believe, again, in all aspects for geography, in politics, the economy, and things are going to be happening faster and faster all the time. The Bible says, again, there's going to be like a woman in her ninth month of pregnancy before Jesus Christ comes back. And I remember, again, when Cheryl had her three pregnancies in our house, things would happen unexpectedly. Where she get unexpected cravings, unexpected discomfort, backaches. Sometimes there'd be some real nausea take place there, just kind of unexpectedly there. And the Bible says it's going to be kind of like that before Jesus Christ comes back to the earth once again. So we're going to start seeing things, I believe, happening suddenly, unexpectedly. But again, nothing's going to catch the body of Christ unawares because God's put His Spirit in us even to start detecting things and sensing things even before they happen. So keep understanding that as well. Tonight's about receiving fresh oil, I want to read Psalms 92. Let's go ahead and turn there if you have it in your Bible. Have your Bibles tonight. Try to bring your Bibles to Bible study on Wednesday evenings. I always read out of the New King James Version. And I'm going to go ahead and just read this entire chapter again about receiving fresh oil. Because I really believe that the Holy Spirit, like we ministered here, so I'm ministering here on Sunday morning. I'm so proud of so many of you folks coming to the front that has felt like you were perhaps dry and thirsty, needing a fresh touch of God, that you were just prayed for, that you were seeking God with all your hearts here. And I believe God did a real deep work inside your lives. But I want to explain some more things tonight and press in a little bit deeper now in the realm of receiving fresh oil. So Psalm 92, the psalmist David knew all about receiving fresh oil himself. It's called a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. And it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." So this morning, hopefully you declared God's loving kindness. Tonight, you're declaring God's faithfulness. Okay, so on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, on the harp, on the Stratocaster Fender guitar, with harmonious sound, it says, "For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work, and I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies, they shall all perish. All the workers of iniquity, they shall be scattered. But my horn, my strength, you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me." I'm going to stop there for a second. Verse 11. Again, like I said, 2011 was, for many folks, a time where there was many storms that broke out in the body of Christ, individually, corporately there. And much of the storms that happened there actually were relational-type storms. And it says, "My eyes shall also see my desire on my enemies. My ears have heard or hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me." So I believe in 2012, we're going to start seeing the desires of God upon our enemies from last year. God's not there to take and destroy them and kill them and wipe them out. But I believe God in 2012 will bring forth hopefully some reconciliation, some healing, and some peace in their lives and our lives together with them. Verse 12 goes on and says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And hopefully the cedars in our town will all start dying, okay? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still be bearing fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and they shall be flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him at all. This talks about, again, verse 10 is our key verse tonight. But my horn, which means my strength, you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. In Exodus chapter 30, Aaron the high priest used an anointing oil that God has specified to make the ingredients a certain way. And he said, mix this whole bunch of ingredients together with the hand of a skilled perfumer. I think it's called something like an apothecary. And this guy will take and blend it all together for a sweet smelling fragrance and an incense to be an anointing oil upon all the priests of Israel. At that time, it was actually Aaron himself. It was called a holy oil, and it was part of the priest's consecration to have this holy anointed oil put upon their bodies. Now, the Bible also says they had to have this fresh oil put on them every single day. You're going to find that in the Bible, there's many spiritual things that God says every day. It says in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. The Bible says the manna came to them every day. They could not save it for the next day. It would stink and get maggots in it there. It would rot. And so God also says, I think David the psalmist would say, every morning I rise up and praise your name. He says, this is the day the Lord has made. So God tells us time and time again that every day is a new day, and every day must be dedicated to the Lord at the very first part of that day. You cannot go on against spiritual cruise control and just say, a little dab will do you. If I go to church on a Sunday morning, even on a Wednesday night, that's all I really need. No, God is an everyday God, because God knows every day the devil's awake, demons are awake, God's awake, angels are awake, people are awake that are lost and dying and perishing. So every day is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad every single day. Amen? So they had to have fresh oil every day, not yesterday's anointing for today. They needed today's anointing on a daily basis. God's telling us tonight that what you received for anointing last year in 2011 will not carry you clear through the year 2012. We need a fresh anointing for 2012 because we're facing new challenges, new opportunities, new open doors, new breakthroughs. It takes new anointings for that by the Lord. The Bible also shows us many, many times that there's not just one anointing for one thing. There's anointings for healing, anointings for financial breakthrough, anointings for relationships, anointings for wisdom. There's many anointings God has in store for us, and he wants to pour those things out upon us, I believe, in this season, in this year of 2012. I still consider us in the first part of this year. It is now January the 25th. The year is marching right along, but we still have 11 big, strong months ahead of us for God to be using us to expand his kingdom in some way. Let's turn now to Exodus chapter 30. Let me find that myself. Exodus chapter 30, starting in verse 23. I'm going to read here about a fresh anointing available to us in this year 2012. Exodus 30, 23 gives the ingredients now, the makeup of this anointing oil. And it says, take for yourself quality spices for this anointing oil to make this. Take 500 shekels of liquid myrrh. Take 250 or half as much of sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels. Take 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and then take a hin of olive oil. You shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all the utensils, the lampstand, utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all the utensils therein, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. Every vessel had to be anointed with this anointed oil, made in a special way by the perfumer, and it was there as a realm and a symbol of consecration unto God, to the Lord. In the New Testament now, we are the vessels, the Bible says, We must be anointed ourselves with the same kind of oil in the realm of the Spirit. So everything we see in the Old Testament, of course, is types and shadows of New Testament realities. We don't see the same kind of an oil made today to anoint the Ark of the Covenant or anoint all the tabernacle and so forth. Those things are all passed away. And now God says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I now anoint you with the same anointing inside of your life. And so God shows us some really strong prophetic pictures in the Old Testament to bring forth to us New Testament realities about living for God, to Him, and bearing fruit for Him in the life we live on this earth. So it's all symbolic, of course, of the Holy Spirit. Your note says, to anoint with oil, it actually means to touch or to smear it on. It is the touch of God upon us, is what the anointing actually is. So if somebody's anointed of God, it means God's special touch is on them. God has smeared them spiritually with an anointing for, again, it might be healing, it might be preaching, it might be casting out devils, it might be discernment, but God gives us anointings. He smears it on us that we might be able to find ourselves, every place our foot shall tread will be given to us in that area by faith if we're following God and that oil stays strong in our lives. But we also need to understand there's a fresh oil that God gives us if we call upon His name also for that. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, we all know this verse. It says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So all things we can do for God are not going to be done by your flesh, but by your Spirit. In fact, the anointing oil also would cover the stench and cover all the things of burnt offerings, all kind of smells in the air as it was burning the fat and burning the rams and burning all the hide and so forth. This anointing oil would bring out a great fragrance there to cover death. And again, I tell you guys time and time again, the Scripture says, I minister life to life, says the Lord. I minister death to death. That anointing oil talks about also covering and masking the smell of death and bringing life where there's been death upon the earth. So in the Old Testament, they would pour a ram's horn, a whole ram's horn of oil on the high priest's head. It would run down his face, down his beard. He was a Nazarite with a Nazarite vow, so there'd be a beard on his face. It'd go down his beard, drip down his clothing, down his shoulders, down upon his legs or his garments there, down upon the ground to show he was totally immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And praise God for all those who were baptized in the Holy Spirit again on Sunday, because you also are now covered the top of your head to the sole of your feet with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so what was happening there again was God was showing us a type and a symbol of what happens to us in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives as well. Now, I went to a church in Milwaukee. It wasn't Pastor Henderson's church. He'll be here in 2 weeks about from now on a weekend. But it was actually another church in Milwaukee. And they had just had a guest speaker there before I came, about 2 weeks before I got there. And I was up there in the front of the church, like I normally sit as a guest speaker in the front. And they're having the praise and worship time. And I'm kind of moving my feet around. And I kind of feel a squishing sound or squishing thing under my feet. I look down and see the whole carpet like this. It's been totally stained. It looks like Crisco oil or grease. And I asked the pastor, I said, now what is this all about? He goes, well, a guest speaker came here last week. He brought in gallons and gallons of olive oil, and he poured about a quart over every single person in our church. He totally soaked our entire carpet with all olive oil, and it went right back about 3 to 4 rows back. Now, God's not requiring us to do things like that today, to take and ruin our carpets and just take and just soak the whole place with olive oil to show we now have an anointing that comes from God. Amen. We have the anointing in us because the Holy Spirit lives in us. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are immersed in Him. You don't need to take and pour gallons of oil on your head to show to God that you are actually consecrated to Him and you're now anointed. Okay. Now the Bible does say to lay hands on the sick, anoint them with oil. A little dab will do you. Just get you a little bit on your finger there, perhaps. Touch their forehead, touch their head somewhere. And that's all God requires there is kind of use common sense, be practical there, use the oil in that realm. The oil is not magical. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen? So understand that as well. In the Old Testament, again, they poured the whole ram's horn there. We're now in New Testament reality. So all believers go through spiritual slumps where things don't seem to be quite as fresh as they were in the past. Every Christian goes through that. And now, again, I'm going to say in my own life, that if I've learned, if I take it and stay close to God, keep on reading my Bible, keep on praising His name, keep on meditating on how good God really is, I don't find myself going through too many slumps too often. Cheryl can tell you herself, I think in our 30 years of marriage now, I can count on one hand how many days I've been depressed in this whole 30 years of my life. And it's because of God's grace and God's presence, God's strength, I can say that. I'm glad about that as well. But I'm saying to you guys again that you're going to go through sometimes spiritual dryness, perhaps. You don't hear God's voice as well. You don't like reading the Bible as much. It doesn't seem as life-giving to you. And the thing is, when you first receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all of us go on a honeymoon where God gives you handfuls of blessings on purpose, and God just makes all kinds of Disney World type things come your way on a daily basis. You win the lottery, you always find the best parking spot, you always find favor in the grocery stores, you find $10 bills on the ground. I mean, you're just finding things happening all around you all the time. Open your Bible up, put your finger there. I love you, says the Lord. I shall bless you mightily. You shall increase in the land. You're the best of all, says God. The apple of my eye. I mean, so you're just, all these things you do, God just pours out handfuls of blessings on purpose. But then the Israelites also, going through the wilderness, they had manna, they had shoes wouldn't wear out, they had shade by cloud, they had fire by night. God did all kind of things for them, like a kind of a baby, immature person would need there to get through the wilderness. But then God says, when you cross the Jordan River, I'm going to dry up the manna. You're going to go up there and you're going to have to till the ground yourself now. You're going to have to go and fight the giants with my help and my strength and my power. It's now time to grow up, says the Lord, and take possession of the land with my faith, my word, my strength, and my grace. Okay, so God also will take the rug and kind of pull it out of us sometimes, it seems like, throw us out of the nest and say, it's time to start growing up now and exercising your faith that I put in you by my word and battling some things for yourself with my help and my strength. Okay, so fresh oil is what takes us out of those slumps, those dry places, those flatness, those flat spiritual times. And again, I praise God for those who came to the front here on Sunday who said, I'm kind of feeling dry myself. I'm kind of feeling a little bit flat myself. I hope you received a lot. I hope God did a good work in your heart and life. We're going to pray for some more folks, I hope even tonight, that God's going to give us a fresh anointing, fresh infilling, and bring to us again things that brings life and freshness in our lives once again, if those things might be lacking. Again, one thing we're going through also that kind of can add to this is there is no great big giant harvest happening right now in our nation. We're not seeing people getting saved by the tens of thousands every single week, like they were back in the 60s and the 70s and the Jesus movement and so forth. And I have never felt any more joy and any more anointing in the atmosphere than when I'm in a place where people are receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says all of heaven starts rejoicing when one person comes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, why is that? Because now a person who was eternally lost will now be born again forever and ever and evermore and be with God and all of us for all eternity. That is far bigger than even cancer being healed, than even a person having no car wreck and so forth. That is a big thing as far as God is concerned, the birthing of a person into His kingdom. And so that somehow also can bring into us more of a staleness. We need to sometimes have those things happening around us. And God's letting us realize again that all folks don't get saved in church services like this. They primarily get saved at your workplace, in your neighborhoods, in the highways, byways, and hedges of life. I think our guest minister here, again named Mark, said that all the healings that Jesus Christ did were outside the synagogue and out there in the streets and the places where He walked at and ministered among the people. So be aware of that as well. I know God's doing both of those things today in this place and outside this place as well. Okay? So let's try fresh oil. Let's try a fresh anointing to get the blahs and get the dries and get the desert experience off of us in Jesus' name. Psalm 23, verse 5. Your notes has this typed out, I think. These are on the screen here as well. And it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. This means that even in a tough time, God prepares a table for us right in front of the enemy. And he also takes and anoints us to give us power over the enemy. And those things that were tearing us down, those weaknesses now can become strengths. As God intervenes, God shows up, and God brings answers and solutions. And again, Satan will always overplay his hand. And I found that God always does more than we can ask or think or imagine when he brings vengeance on the enemy and brings back to us restoration of things stolen from us by him. I think your notes next of all says, while there is one great infilling of the Holy Spirit, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time, we can all receive that. We also see that there's multiple infillings to be received even afterwards. And so when the Bible in the Greek language says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, that Greek verb there means be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't just get filled one time. It says be being filled with the Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis. If you look at David, you'll see that he was anointed by Samuel as the king of Israel in the future. That's the anointing he received, first of all, by the prophet Samuel who came to him by God's direction. Then you'll find that later on, he's anointed to be the king over Judah in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Then a few more years goes by. He's anointed then to become the king over all of Israel by the people of Israel. And so he receives there three different anointings in his life. But also, Psalms, Samuel, so forth, tells us time and time again that David would take time to be filled up with God's Spirit, to refresh himself in the Lord, to sing praises unto God, and restore his soul in times of being chased by Saul, times of being stricken by his own brothers in the body of God's army. We found that David could encourage himself in the Lord, praise God, worship the Lord, and be filled with his Spirit time and time and time again, even back in the Old Testament time and Old Testament season. There are several symbols now, of course, for the Holy Spirit. Who can name some of those symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible? The dove. Somebody said fire. And there's also oil and water and wind. Those are the five main things I see myself. Anything else? I think there's those five main things there. Fire, oil, wind, water, and oil. And so in this verse here, we talked about, from the very first scripture we read from Psalm 92, verse 10, it says, God wants to give us fresh oil. And the word oil is used there because oil has got some qualities. There's also written down in your notes here. I'm going to talk about those things now in the rest of this service. Number one is oil is a liquid that will evaporate or it will dry up. Because it's a liquid there, whenever oil gets hot or oil's left out there in the sun, of course, it dries up, it fades away, it evaporates. I found myself that I very, very unwisely did not check the oil in our lawnmower I bought about 3 years ago. And I thought this oil would last longer than it did. I wasn't used to checking oil in lawnmowers, okay? And so I was cutting the backyard lawn in July, some hot summer day, and all of a sudden the whole lawnmower just seized up. Big old puff of blue smoke comes out, and the thing is just totally ruined because I checked the oil dipstick, and there was not one drop of oil in that lawnmower. And so an almost brand new lawnmower, about a year old or so, was just totally wiped out and ruined, made me very upset, and I won't do it again. I've learned you got to always check the oil in those lawnmowers, kind of got at least, a little more often than I'm used to in the past. They've got to make them different nowadays. But that thing, whenever the oil takes and dries up and evaporates, the engine seizes up. The whole mechanism just breaks down, and bad things happen. Amen? The same thing is true of the Holy Spirit, the oil inside of us. It evaporates. It's not there to be fill you one time. We must be being filled with the Holy Spirit on an ongoing basis. Number two, oil will also drain away if there's a hole in the vessel that it's in. And the problem with us is, again, we leak. The Holy Spirit comes in us. The oil of the Spirit comes in us. And we are a holy generation. We are a holy people. Amen? There's holes in us. And God says, you are like a hose. You are to have the Spirit of God flow in you and flow through you to a lost and dying world. So you're not made to take and have that manna come in you one time. That's all you need there. It's a reservoir there that will dry up. There's holes in you that the thing will leak out of you to give to other people in the earth. So how's the holes, how's the draining take place? Well, there are several ways that oil can drain away or evaporate. One is by being used in ministry. Whenever I take and speak like this on a Wednesday night, you may not believe this. This is a very, very tiring thing because I am drawing God's anointing. I'm drawing God's wisdom and God's help there. And when I did my rock seminars 300 times, I told Cheryl when I got done there, let's go to Denny's. Let's go to IHOP. I am hungry. Because you don't understand how tiring, how much it drains you to be ministering out to people. You start praying for folks to get baptized, Holy Spirit, or see demons cast out, or pray for healing, whatever else. You are giving things out of you, and it really does wear you out. And so those that are involved in ministry must have a way to take and just get apart like Jesus Christ himself did, be alone with God yourself, recharge your batteries up once again, be fresh to go back out the next time. Then God's anointing is there, God's grace is there, and God gives you strength once again, like the eagle, to run and not be weary, walk and not faint in ministry. Amen? And so I perceive Jesus Christ himself, the Bible says he ministered to a woman with the issue of blood. She touched the hem of his garment, and it says, Jesus Christ said, I perceive that virtue, anointing has gone out of me. So he's saying there's something in me that has gone out of me. He was saying, saying himself again, that what God puts in us can go out of us, and it must be replenished somehow, some way. But the good news is, God's got a reservoir and a supply that never runs dry. No matter what you see drained out of you, God brings you much more in the future as well. So don't ever take and be stingy with what God gives you. Give it out, and God brings it right back in again. And the more that God flows through you, the cleaner vessel you also find yourself to be. In the earth. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 says, give no place to the devil. This is a hole. It means that whenever Satan's got a place in you by willful sins, by iniquities, by evil talk, by gossip, by slander, by bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, whenever Satan has a stronghold in you, it puts a hole in that armor that God puts around you. It's called the shield of faith, and somehow, some way, he can go through those cracks there, and it makes the oil pour out a whole lot faster. I might have told you this about a vision God gave me when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 20 years old. The Spirit of God showed me a vision of myself with a hedge or a wall around me, and I began to see all of a sudden an army outside of me. They were throwing like rocks. They were had catapults with rocks hitting the thing, and they were causing the rocks, the shield around me, to have some little bitty cracks forming in that as time was going by. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I'm showing you this because this is what takes place in the spiritual realm. When you sin on purpose, when you do evil on purpose, it's like putting a weapon outside that shield I put around you and casting stones at that with your own permission. The enemy does that and puts cracks and fissures in the armor around you I put there by my faith, by my word, and by my spirit. So don't let any weapon formed against you prosper. Amen? No weapon formed against you prospers if you obey God. Stay out of sin and stay out of iniquities, and don't put holes in the very vessel that God puts in you, the wineskins that holds the anointing, the oil of God in the spiritual realm for your lives. Number three. Oil also will lose its viscosity. That's a big word. But we all know viscosity is that you might have seen, you ladies that are here, you might have seen in oil cans, there's 10W30, there's 20W50, there's a 30 weight period. This is all the viscosity, the thickness of the oil. And when that thickness, that viscosity wears down, the oil becomes thin. It no longer protects your pistons and your inner workings of your engine the way that it should, and your engine can be seized up and can be ruined because the viscosity, the thickness, has gone away in the engine. The same thing is true of the Holy Spirit. You must replenish that, get a fresh filling there. That's why we change the oil in our vehicles every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, because the viscosity, the thickness, wears out, and the oil breaks down into this real thin-type, watery-type substance there. Doesn't protect your engine like it should, okay? So understand the Holy Spirit also needs to be replenished inside of us. A fresh filling must come in there because viscosity breaks down in the spiritual realm as well. Let's look now at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 4. Proverbs 14, 4 says, where there is no oxen, where no oxen are at, the trough is clean. But it says much increase comes by the strength of an ox. What this means here to us in the spiritual realm is, if you want the power of the Holy Spirit to be in you like an oxen, because oxen always stand for power throughout the entire Bible, you got to realize when the oxen come in, they're going to make a little bit of a mess. You see, some folks want a church that's all nicey-nicey. Everything's in order. It's all clean. Everything's totally predictable there. We all have our three songs, our prayer, our testimony there, our 30-minute message. We clap our hands and say goodbye and pray and go out. And that's all the clean stalls some folks like to have in religion and churches there. When the Holy Spirit's power comes in, it's like an oxen coming into a barn sometimes. It's going to make a little bit of a mess once in a while. But the Bible says that oxen also brings great increase to the barn. And all of a sudden, all the bins get filled up with corn and grain because the oxen brings forth increase and brings forth produce and brings forth blessings to the farmer, to the barn. The Holy Spirit always brings good things to us. Now, I want to talk more about this also in a moment here. But the reason we also find that there's a mess takes place is because when the Holy Spirit comes into people, how many folks know He comes into imperfect vessels? He doesn't wait for you to be perfect before He takes and fills you up, even anoints you, and even begins using you in some way, even sometimes in church services just like this. And so because the Holy Spirit works through tainted vessels, there's sometimes messy things that happen because folks aren't always quite trained or mature enough yet, perhaps, to do things, everything, decently and in order. So they might begin to blurt out. The Holy Spirit gives them an anointing for prophetic utterance and discerning of spirits. They might blurt out, I sense, brother back there, that you're gay. Come to the front right now and repent. Now, they're probably right. The guy probably is gay, but it's not real wise to go ahead and embarrass him in front of the whole church. The man stands up, turns around, runs out the back door, and serves Satan. Okay, so that's not really good fruit, okay? That's not the kind of ending you wanted to have take place for that man's life. So sometimes messy things happen when the Holy Spirit anoints us, works through us. That's why we need to be discipled, trained, teachable, submissive, able to listen to instructions and corrections and not get offended, because you don't always have all the wisdom you need to have when that power comes in you and flows through you, okay? And so, again, that's why we hope here as leadership in our congregation and church here as well that you'll take and be open to sometimes some correction, some instructions, some counsel, or some balance perhaps when the Spirit of God comes. We do want wildfire in the place, amen? We want to see wildfire as opposed to no fire, but we also want to see things more and more become decently and in order done in the congregation. How many folks know it's not always God's will that every single Sunday someone prophesies for 15 to 20 minutes? I need to speak sometimes, okay? I need to sometimes get my message out, okay? And so I can't have one person prophesying 20 minutes every single Sunday morning. Then what they say may be right on, may be good, edifying, and so forth. It's not a kind of out of order if the preacher can't preach but about 5 minutes every week, okay? And so I'm saying we got to use sometimes common sense, some corrections, some instructions there, but let all things be done, but be done decently and in order. The oxen comes in, makes a little bit of a mess sometimes, but increase will come from that. So again, I encourage you guys still, ask the Holy Spirit, what can I be doing this day, O God, in obedience to your will, to bless someone, help somebody out in this congregation, in this service, this day, in Jesus' name. Amen? Because all things should be done, but be done decently and in order. And I really believe God wants to release more healings, more miracles, more words of knowledge, more deliverance, more discerning of spirits there. He wants all those things done in a way that's decently in order and being using wisdom with that as well, okay? Okay, moving on here again. Number four, when oil is fresh, oil's got a sweet aroma. I love to take and break. I change my own oil in my cars at the house. I find that just, I can do it faster than they can do it at Walmart, and it saves you money. I kind of like the little diversion as well, getting a little bit greasy. And so when I open those brand new Castrol tops, break those things off of there, that oil smells fresh. It smells good. It feels good in your fingers there. But the oil I take to the recycling center down the road from us and pour in that recycling bin stinks to high heaven. It's black. It's gooey. It's yucky. And it just smells bad, okay, because it's been used a whole lot. Fresh oil smells good. Fresh oil has got a great fragrance to that. It's good to the touch, good to the feel. It's good in all ways. Exodus chapter 30 is where God instructs in verse 25 and verse 35 how the perfumer should take and blend all these things together for the holy oil to be made. The anointing brings a sweet spirit. The anointing of God comes on a person. The mean folks become nice. Those that are grouchy become pleasant. Those that are critical become gracious and complimentary. The anointing brings onto you a niceness, being very, very amiable to folks around you, being friendly, being joyful, smiling, loving folks around you. You become a person that's full of fragrance and sweetness and kindness in every part of your life. Amen. I've heard it said different times again, he who is mean to a waitress or a waiter is not a nice person. And I agree to that pretty much. If you cannot take and be nice to a person who is serving you, there's probably something wrong in your spirit. Let's get our fresh oil, get fresh oil put back in us once again, and let's become nice once again. Amen. Let's be nice. Let's be sharing. Let's be caring. Let's be people that are filled with the Holy Spirit to do that in a genuine fashion as well. Let's read here Psalm 90, verse 17. Psalm 90, 17 says, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the works of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The Pharisees' biggest problem was everything they did was ugly. It says, let the beauty of the Lord be on us. When his beauty is on us, he will establish the works of our hands. All the things the Pharisees did was wood, hay, and stubble. Nothing lasted they did. Everything Jesus Christ did brought fruit that remained. When there's beauty there, there's going to be lasting fruit there as well. Let all things be beautifully anointed by the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 19 and 21. It says, the beauty of Israel is slain on your high places. It talks about the death of King Saul. The beauty of Israel, King Saul, is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. O mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew nor rain upon you, nor fields or offerings. For the shield of the mighty is cast away there, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil at all. It shows how Saul was at one time had a beautiful anointing on his life, but then it was taken away from him. There was found no anointing on him at all in his death because of rebellion, witchcraft, anger, selfishness, and ego. Right before I came to church tonight, I listened to Perry Stone for a little bit there, talking to some guy, a pastor, I can't think of the guy's name, something Robinson, but he made a very, very powerful statement. We talked about the same thing here yesterday's staff meeting on a Tuesday morning here. Perry Stone asked this pastor, who was very, very successful, he said, how do you define success? He said, because a lot of these seeker-sensitive churches are teaching our seminary graduates to become seeker-sensitive because by doing that, you'll have a great, big, large-numbered, successful church. He said, success can never be wrapped around ego. Whenever there's ego in success, it is not success. They cannot be married together in God's kingdom. Success must always be putting God first, put people first, be a servant of all people, not numbers, not money, not finance, not things and stuff. It must be God first, people first, and being a servant to all. That's what true success is all about. Exodus chapter 30, verse 33, moving on. It says, whoever compounds any anointing oil like this, or whoever puts any of this on an outsider, they shall be cut off from his people. There's a danger, it says here, to imitate other people's anointing. I've been around some powerful ministers of God, people like Benny Hinn, people like Larry Lee, people like Rick Godwin, and I've seen how the tendency for humans is to get so impressed by those people, they begin to imitate their actions, their speech, their preaching, their hand movements, their anointing. They think what they do is a formula that I can copy for myself. That's the furthest thing from the truth. God has called you to be an individual yourself. Do learn from great men of God. Do learn from women of God as well, but don't imitate their anointing, their actions, their dress, their finger movements and so forth, their anointing. You can't do that. They have their own anointing there. You have your own anointing. Be who you are in Jesus' name. Amen? And so what God is saying here says, may they be cut off from his people. Whenever you see in the Old Testament the words cut off or kill them or stone them, in the New Testament, we don't do that. We don't take and we don't stone people. We don't cut folks out of the church. We don't kick them out the back door. We don't see them ostracized like they did back in the Old Testament because there was no Holy Spirit there working the same way he works today. Whenever God does say this, though, the principle is Something big is happening in this verse. This is what God's saying. Take note of this, because I cut folks off and I killed folks for this in the Old Testament. So what God is saying there, if you do these things even today in the year 2012, something of death will be loosed in your whole realm of your life. It may be death to your promotion, death to God's best for your life, death to God's divine favor. There will be something cut off. Whenever you see God say the words cut off or death to this in the Old Testament, something will die in your life when you disobey God in the year 2012 with these verses, okay? So take note of those words when you see that in the Old Testament. Isaiah 10:27 goes on and says, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from your shoulder, his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." I'll give you 2 weeks here of teaching here about the yokes being broken by the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want you to take, if you can, and I'm going to give you a few more points here from a man named Rodney Howard Brown. This guy's an evangelist from South Africa, very anointed man of God. This man has done some things that's controversial perhaps to the body of Christ. There's been some times in his meetings, sometimes laughing breaks out. Sometimes folks are pinned to the floor, like Cheryl and I were for 3 hours one time in Fort Worth, Texas. And these are all things the Holy Spirit just does through people sometimes. It's a mystery to some folks, but those who receive those things, they understand exactly what God's doing with them. When they get pinned to the floor, when they start laughing, they actually know why God's doing that. Every time your testimony is about that as well. So in his book, this about the anointing, Rodney Howard Brown's got a chapter that's called How to Increase the Anointing in Your Life. I want to write some of these things down if you can also kind of keep up here. The first thing he said was, Smith Wigglesworth, who is the most powerfully anointed man of God that most folks have known in the past 100 years, this man woke up at 4 o'clock every single morning. He had communion first with bread and with juice. Then he had 3 hours of personal prayer before God. Well, all of a sudden, other folks began to copy him, but they were copying his formula, not his relationship with the Lord. And the anointing upon Smith Wigglesworth's life was not coming on their life, because they were trying to copy formula and not copy relationship. The anointing is only increased by relationship, not by formula, okay? So I cannot go like Benny Hinn and see this whole place fall flat on the power of the Holy Spirit, because I don't have the same anointing and the same walk perhaps he's got himself to receive that in his own life. Formulas don't work. Relationship is what God wants in your life. So he said, number one, have a relationship with God. Don't seek after formulas. Number two, he said also, seek the person of the Holy Spirit, not the language of the Holy Spirit. Many folks say, I want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit so I can start speaking in new tongues and new languages. God says to us, seek first the Holy Spirit, his love, his countenance, his grace, his power, who he is, and the tongues will come automatically. Okay? Don't seek the tongues. Don't seek the gifts. Seek the Holy Spirit. Seek his face. Seek his nature. Seek his character. Seek him. And then all of a sudden the tongues of the world will start kind of coming to you automatically as the Holy Spirit fills your life. Number three, John 5:1-4 is a Pool of Bethesda miracle. It's where Jesus healed the man who was by the waters. And Jesus asked this man, he says to him, will you be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? And of course, this man, he says back to Jesus, well, sir, I have no man to put me into the waters. When the angel comes and stirs the waters, I have no man to put me in the waters and receive the healing from my body. And the Bible says that of all the folks in that Pool of Bethesda that day, only this man was healed by Jesus Christ. Only him. And Rodney Howard Brown asked the Holy Spirit, why was that, God? And the Holy Spirit said back to him, because he was the only guy not looking for a man to get him healed. This guy said, I have no man to put me in the water and get me healed. Jesus Christ said, come unto me, and I will heal you, and I will raise you up. So what God is saying there is, don't look for a man, for a prophet, for a healing evangelist all the time. Look to God, the author and finisher of your faith, and he will raise you up himself in his own way. God may use a man. God may use a woman of God. But God, above all else, says, seek my face, seek me, and I'll bring these things to you, says the Lord. Last of all, when we become hungry enough to do whatever it takes, God will fill us with fresh oil in our lives. That is my prayer for you guys in this church. I think there was a prophetic woman here last week, I understand, through Cheryl, that prophesied over the church a bit and said she senses that what God's doing in Tree of Life Church is He's putting people of passion in this congregation. And He said, because there's already, she said, I sense there's already a passion in this church for God, and so God has a passion also for you guys. That's good news, because if God's got a passion for us, you got a passion for Him, the sky is the limit. God will do more and more things among us to fill us up, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to prosper us, to bless us in so many ways, because we have a hunger and thirst after Him already. God will fill us up again and again and again. And I want to encourage you guys, when Sunday mornings come especially here, let's be believing God again for great and for mighty things we don't know about in our brain that God wants to do among us to surprise people. God is full of surprises. God is full of spontaneous things. God has got things He wants to do for people that'll blow you away. If we'll just be open and obedient vessels to hear His voice, obey His voice, break through the intimidation factor, and say, I will be God's vessel to be used by God for His glory, not my own, in these services and beyond this place as well, in Jesus' name. We're a people of passion. God's got passion for us. God loves us. God wants to give fresh oil to us. As only He can do. Let's all stand to our feet now, please. I'm going to pray here tonight for myself. I'm going to pray for you guys, because each one of us, again, many of us in this room tonight have already been prayed for in the past 2 weeks. And for some reason, God is giving us this message about fresh infilling, fresh baptism, fresh oil, fresh release inside of our hearts and lives. Can we take and just somehow join hands, maybe move around and start joining hands across these aisles together here as a congregation? Let's just join hands together. So I really want to see, and I'm going to have Cheryl come to the front, please. If I can have Cheryl help me at the front. Just, I want you to take my hand as well, please, if you would, Cheryl. I want us to take and just believe God that we are a people unified by His Spirit. And then we're going to start seeing the unity that God places inside this church, this congregation. We're going to see it breaking loose, first of all, even tonight, with fresh oil. Then beyond tonight, bringing forth the spiritual breakthroughs that God wants to bring to people, yokes being broken, lives being transformed, people being touched with God's power. But it begins with us. Now, Father God, we are right now together here in Your presence, thanking You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that lives in us. We acknowledge, O God, tonight that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. That Your Spirit, God, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, dwells in us. Yes. Even, Lord, tonight, even every second of our lives. And Father God, we say tonight, we embrace You. Yes. We welcome You. We hunger and we thirst after You, the living God. Yes. Father, fill us afresh. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh and anew. Bring forth that new oil. Bring forth that fresh oil. Bring forth oil changes. Bring forth, oh God, leaks being stopped up. Yes. And bring forth, oh God, soundness and wholeness to our bodies. Break yokes, oh God, and break bondages off of lives and hearts. Anger, depression being broken. Fear and turmoil being broken. Things, oh God, of sickness and disease being broken in Jesus' name. Things of religious bondages, lies of the enemy, deceptions be exposed, be broken in Jesus' name. Yes. Yokes be broken. Every yoke be broken. And only the easy yoke, the light yoke, the yoke of Jesus Christ be upon our necks, be upon our backs. Because You lead us and guide us in green pastures by still waters. And goodness and mercies follows us all the days of our lives. And Father God, Your word also tells us to drink from the fountain that has no ending to supply. Rivers of living water flow in us and flow through us. And we say, rivers, rivers flow in this place in the name of Jesus. The fresh oil, the fresh waters, the rains, the showers of blessings be upon this church, upon this congregation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hunger and thirst, O God, for the things of the Lord, for the Word of God, for Scriptures, for Your Spirit, God, for Your workings inside of us. Father, give us eyes anointed, O God, to see by the Holy Spirit. Give us ears that are opened up to hear Your voice. Give us hearts of fire, hearts of zeal, hearts of softness, compassion, brokenness. Let us walk in repentance. Repentance, O God, saying, I am open to correction. I am open to adjustments. I am open to transformation. In the name of Jesus. Nothing in my life is out of bounds to you, O God. And Father, forgive me if I've said anything I have is out of bounds. Don't touch this. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us, O Lord. There's no trespassing signs that are being taken down out of our hearts and lives, our minds this day. In the name of Jesus. Self-will, pride, and arrogance. Bow your knee to Jesus Christ in our lives. We praise you, O God. Every high thing that exalts itself above your will and knowledge, be exposed, O God. Be brought down out of our minds, out of our hearts, in the name of Jesus. And Father, make us one as you are one. Fulfill that John 17 prayer of Jesus Christ before he died on the cross. He said, Father, make them one as we are one. Join their hearts together, O God. They may be able to show forth the praise and love of God to the nations and the peoples that are lost and perishing, walking in darkness and lostness. Father, I pray you stir up the giftings inside of each one of these people, Lord, tonight. Stir up the giftings. Bring forth those callings, O God. Bring forth those dormant things, O Lord. Awaken. Awaken in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. The dawn, the sunshine, rise up with healing in your wings. The sun of righteousness will rise up. And I praise you, O God, as you bring forth healing, restoration, joy, gladness, strength, peace, wisdom, O God, knowledge and depth. Let us go deeper in you, Father, in the year 2012 than we ever gone before. In Jesus' name. Let's just give God praise and thanks right now. Just give him thanks. Yes, O God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Saturate this place, O God. Saturate this place, O God. Your presence, your peace, O God, your love, your power, your grace, your goodness, your kindness, Lord. Be displayed among us, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you so much for staying here, waiting and praying. You're precious people. We got to believe that God.